Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our show, It's Time to Awake. On this show, there will be various topics presented, examined, and explained with an emphasis on the Word of God and the doctrine of repentance through His Son, Christ. Romans 13 and 11, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, but now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. We hope that you may be edified by the word of God through Christ. Shalom.
The topic today is having the right zeal. Having the right zeal. That's the topic that we're going to talk about today. So before we get into it, I want to define the word zeal, Z-E-A-L. I want to read the definition of zeal. All right, so I'm reading from Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and the word zeal, okay, here it is.
You sure you got it, bro? We'll be making up stuff.
All right, so the word zeal, it says eager and ardent interest in the pursuit of something, fervor, enthusiasm, passion. So again, eager and ardent interest in the pursuit of something, fervor, enthusiasm, passion. That's the definition. So again, having the right zeal. So when you look at us as a people, we have a zeal for God. And when it's been this way now for a long time, because one of the first scriptures that we're going to read, Paul talks about that. So we have a zeal. So when you look in our neighborhoods, there's churches on like every corner. We're known for like the best like singers singing praises to God, dancing to Jesus. And, you know, all kinds of stuff, just very passionate and have a lot of enthusiasm for it. But is it the right zeal? If that's what we're going to look at. Let's go to Romans 10, and we're going to start there. Read Romans 10, verse 1 through verse 3.
Okay. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Okay, so this is Paul talking. He was a great apostle of Jesus Christ. He said his heart desire and prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. So he loved his people, his nation so much that he's like, listen, that's my desire, and that's what I pray to the Most High for, that they might be saved, because he loved his people. Just like almost all the prophets back then, they loved Israel, they loved their nation, they loved the people. And when it's talking about Israel, it's not talking about that land over there today in the Middle East that's called Israel. That's not what it's talking about.
It's talking about a group of people, a family.
Exactly, a nation of people, And that group, or a nation of people today, have been scattered all over the world through slavery. You can read that in many places. If you listen to this radio show a lot, we read those scriptures a lot. You can read in Deuteronomy 28. it says that we will be scattered all over the world in these last days, mm-hmm. all over every nation. So that's what it's talking about. It's talking about a nation, not a country of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So read that again.
Romans 10, starting at 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
So it says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Remember the definition that we just read.
Mm-hmm.
Passionate, enthusiasm,
mm-hmm.
you know, the pursuit of something, right? Desirous mm-hmm. to be at.
Yeah,
you know?
Something they're pursuing.
Yeah, right? So they have a zeal of God,
mm-hmm.
but not according to knowledge. Mm-hmm. So not according to the knowledge of the Heavenly Father and His Son Christ,
mm-hmm.
of the true and right zeal that we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the zeal. We build churches all over.
Mm-hmm.
We sing a lot of praises and dance and jump and shout and all kinds of stuff.
Do good things in the community.
Yeah, yep, that too. Stuff like that. You know, so that's that zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. Read verse 3.
Can I read 2
yeah.
again?
Yeah.
Verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
And that is the core of the problem. It says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness,
mm-hmm.
so how God looks at us as being righteous,
mm-hmm.
us, we are ignorant of that, and what we went about to establish our own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I said we do all these different things, all the churches, all the places of worship, all the praise dance, the singing, the doing good in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Even Israelite schools, they go out religiously on the street corners and they just preach all kinds of hatred, you know, and they're very passionate about that. They go out all the time. You see them out on the street corners all the time and they're spewing nothing but madness. Right? It says they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness. So they don't go by as it is written, they go by their own righteousness, what they think and what they feel is right, or what's been passed down through the generation. So
mm-hmm.
what some man or some woman started mm-hmm. several years ago, and then you know, people's family or whatever might have been a part of that organization forever,
mm-hmm.
so then it just continues on and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
That's your own righteousness. It's not according to knowledge. It says, and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So when we have that zeal, a lot of us, that's, again, we're doing it according to our own minds, and we are not doing it according to the righteousness of God. We're not following the Most High truly, His commandments, now through the true understanding of Jesus Christ, as it is written, not going based on feelings or what, you know, we've been taught throughout the generations or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the problem is.
Yep.
So I wanted to start with the scripture first because this, like I said, this bears it out. Again, having the right zeal. Let's go to Acts 17.
Okay.
Because remember what it says. They went about to establish their own righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, in a lot of these things, people are caught up, you know, with like a building or a specific place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they think, okay, this is the place of worship. This is where I have to be. And, you know, when they're going there, you know, they're not doing the righteousness of God. And we're going to bring out some examples in a moment. But, you know, that's what it is. So read Acts 17:24 and 25.
Okay. Acts 17, starting at 24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Okay, so it says, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven, right, so he's over everything, and the earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So that physical building that people adore and they're going to every week or whatever day that they go there,
mm-hmm.
right? God does not dwell in temples, buildings made with people's hands, because he made everything. So people get caught up into that, man. That's their own righteousness. And they go to that place thinking that, okay, if I go there every week, I'm being righteous. And I know a lot of people that are like that. I'm being righteous. And when they go there, they're not going in the right spirit. They're not being fed the spiritual words, right? So is God truly there? No, he's not. You know, I was thinking of something, you know, when I was putting these scriptures together. I was going to Buff State for a while. I'm not sure if you remember that, for graduate school.
Yep.
And one of the classes that I took, the professor had I wouldn't say an experiment because it was graded, but basically what it is we had to pick an experience or do something different that was outside what we normally do or whatever, just to get that different experience, because it was like a sociology type class or whatever.
So he wanted you to eat bacon or something?
No. That's funny. But this one lady that was in there, right? We'll just say she's of European ancestry. We'll just say that. What she did was she went to a prominent black church here in the city, and we don't want to get kicked off the air, so I'm not going to say the name, because I know, you know, what I'm about to say will, you know,
probably offend some people.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, so she picked a very prominent black church or whatever here in the city of Buffalo, and she went there on a Sunday, and so she came back, and so what the project was is, what once we did whatever observation or whatever, you have to come back and share it with the class.
Okay, all right. So what you thought about it and your experience.
Yeah, exactly, bro. So she came back, was doing that, and she was very, very shocked, to say the least. She was like, oh, my God, you know, people were just dressed up, and they were just looking their best and, you know, just singing and praising, and I was like, oh my God, I've never seen nothing like that before. But nowhere in there was, okay, the word was being taught, they learned this, they learned that. She said the main focus was on like how they dressed and how they appeared and stuff like that. And they had a great passion, you know what I'm saying, to go there every week or whatever, dressing like that and looking like that.
Really?
Yeah, really.
So that's all it's about?
Yeah, to some people, you know.
Okay.
So it's like that passion is there, and people are, like I said, get caught up in these different buildings or places of worship. But is God really there? He's telling us, no, he's not. Because this scripture says he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. So people, they're all, oh, the church, or this specific building or whatever. You know, Israelite groups, I know the one story that I know I used to hear, and I died laughing when I heard it. This was like a long time ago. They used to use a scripture in Isaiah that says, what's the scripture again? Should be like a holy sanctuary, little sanctuary, whatever people shall come to.
I think I'm familiar with that.
So, yeah, it was this one building in New York, in the ghetto, right? And they used to say that, okay, that's that church that the scripture was talking about.
You know, you have to remember how the black church started because of and after people like Nat Turner.
Yep.
They didn't want people reading the scriptures for themselves, figuring out who they are because the curses fit them.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to deliver themselves.
Yep.
Which usually in those days meant using violence against violence.
Mm-hmm.
So what they had was they established supervision and emasculation of the males, but supervision of the Bible studies.
Right.
Where they would go over like Romans 6:16.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know that whoever you serving, you serving?
Yep.
Then they would go over 1 Timothy 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, slaves, be obedient to your masters. You know,
yep.
When it was talking about being in the right spirit and not blaspheming Christ, but obeying Christ first, mm-hmm. and then obeying everything else, like it talks about in Romans 8.
Yep, exactly. You
know? So that supervision tended to pacify the people.
Yep.
And it started putting that emphasis on dress,
mm-hmm.
singing, dancing, expecting to go to heaven after death,
right.
which is a Babylonian Nimrod Semiramis teaching.
Right.
And all of that other stuff. So that's where that stuff comes from. And we have, you know, and it took away from the word. You go mm-hmm. research it for yourself. Don't believe me.
Exactly.
Research it for yourself. Google it.
Mm-hmm.
Research it. That's why the internet is there, so you can find out about yourself.
Exactly.
And research it and compare it to what the scripture says.
Exactly.
You know, and then see if you're really serving the Lord according
exactly.
to as it is written.
Exactly. Yep. That's a good point, bro. And the thing is also, like we always say, everything that we do is about teaching people to repent, those that want to repent or who the Lord calls to repent.
That believe,
exactly. And we were ourselves at one point into these things. I know I went to church before I got to this true understanding. You know what I'm saying? So, and there's other people in our church that was very passionate about the foolishness that they were into before they got mm-hmm. the true understanding of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about repentance, you know, for those that the Most High calls.
Mm-hmm.
So we read this. It says he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, so it's not about that building.
Mm-hmm.
Neither does he worship with men's hands as though he needed anything. So
mm-hmm.
you know, he gives breath to all. So
mm-hmm.
we serve the Most High through Christ now by the things that we do, and we're going to read some scriptures in a moment that mm-hmm. proves that. But he's not there in that building. So again, don't get caught up in, okay, this that specific building or place of worship that you go to.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go from there to Mark 7.
Okay.
And we're going to read what Jesus Christ said when he was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, which were religious leaders over the nation of Israel mm-hmm. at that time.
Okay.
Mark 7, start at 7, and we're going to read through verse 9.
Mark 7, starting at 7.
I'm sorry. Start at 6.
Okay. Mark 7, starting at 6. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written. Well, he said that a lot.
Yeah.
This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Okay, stop. So, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites. So Christ is bringing out a prophecy that was written down by Isaiah long ago that says what? This people, the Israelites, honor God with their lips.
Mm-hmm.
So we say we love God. We give all the do all the singing, all the praising, and all that stuff with mm-hmm. our lips. But our heart, meaning our mind, is far from him because we're not doing the things mm-hmm. that he commands us. We're going about establishing our own righteousness and mm-hmm. doing our own thing.
Uh-huh.
So read that again. Read 6.
He answered and said unto them, Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition.
Okay, so he's saying, Howbeit in vain do they worship me. So it's for nothing. When you do these things, man, you're not worshiping God. When you go to your places of worship, you jump, you dance, you sing, you do whatever. All that stuff, you're not worshiping God. All that stuff is in vain. It's for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not looking at that. He's looking at what we're doing, our actions. Mm-hmm. So how be it in vain do they worship me? This is coming from Jesus mm-hmm. Christ's own mouth. So when people go around and they might build a church called Kojic, you know, I mean, look at your actions. Look at the things that you're doing. Are you really a church of God in Christ? Are you really that? Or you have people that go out on street corners and they preach all kind of hatred, you know, against people, against women, just yelling at people, just don't have any, you know, not approachable, and saying they're doing it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Are you really? You're doing that in vain. Because, you know, your actions and stuff is not lining up.
I'm sorry, bro. Not lining up with what's written.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, this goes back to my earlier comment about, when, you know, we had supervision in teaching in our religious studies from mm-hmm. slavery because of Nat Turner and others. We have been taught that we're not even Israel.
Right. Yep.
There was a write-up in the local paper,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. They interviewed a prominent religious person.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, you know, salvation is first to the Jews,
mm-hmm.
but we as Gentiles can, you know, receive of that promise as well.
Right.
You know, and we, you know, that's what we do, and we do this, and we do that. You know, and the scriptures say that the Gentiles are the outcast, the scattered of Israel. It says it in Isaiah 11, verses 10 through 12.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't say they're of any other nation.
Yep.
Or family of people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Extended family of people. And it says that those Israelites that, you know, rejected it and got scattered or whatever, went into the Gentiles. Not only those Gentiles, but those Israelites were going to come back and be as one in Christ.
Exactly.
The middle wall of partition and separation between them be broken down and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it also said that the identifying marks on them would be easily seen and fit certain descriptions throughout the Bible.
Exactly.
Christ said the times of vengeance are coming, Jerusalem mm-hmm. is going to fall, and everything that is written is going to be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
So those people fit those descriptions, but those descriptions are not taught in a lot of these buildings.
Exactly.
So the people run around thinking they're Gentiles, but the Gentiles are the Israelites too.
Exactly.
So what really are you learning?
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of appearance of good things and stuff, but we've been taught that these appearance things are righteous. You know what? I'll tell you what, until the mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
okay, until about 95, 96, I used to think that a dude with a black coat on with a little white tab right here in the collar,
right.
I used to think they was righteous.
Yeah, I used to think that way too.
And, yep. You know, that's a priest, you know.
Yeah.
And then all these scandals started coming out, not only about how they was doing this, but they would put the guy in another city
mm-hmm.
and let him do it there.
Yep.
And then put him somewhere else. You know, So, but do the scriptures say that's actually righteous?
No, it's not.
Now, that's an extreme example.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, you know, you can look at 1 Timothy 4 and see that their doctrine is off.
Yep.
The first couple of verses.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's what you think about stuff, and that's what we go by. Well, we should go by what is written.
Exactly. No. Yeah, that's good, bro. Because I know some people, too, man. I'd say, okay, yeah, we the Gentiles, but let me just explain it that we're not.
Yeah. And said a scripture that says what, and don't have enough time to go to it, Isaiah 11, 10 through 12, explains who the Gentiles are. James 1, verse 1 coincides with that scripture. So we have to go according to what is written, especially now because the time is short.
Exactly, exactly. It's true. All right, so now let's go to Psalms 119. Let's look at now what is the true zeal. And, you know, we mentioned it, but we're going to read some scriptures and then go into some examples. So what is the true zeal of God? So Psalms 119, this is Psalms that are written by David. David was a beloved king over the nation of Israel at the time. Most I said he's a man of his heart, his own heart. Man was very contrite, even though, you know, he made quite several mistakes, sin or whatever, but he repented from them. And he had that contrite heart. And, you know, he had that true zeal. So Psalms 119, read verse 138 and 139 first.
Okay, Psalms chapter 119, starting at 138. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thine words.
Wow. Skip over to 167. Read that real quick.
My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly.
Wow. Now, listen, isn't that a true zeal, bro? When you look at what he's saying and his actions, when you read, like, in the King's Chronicles and stuff like that, his actions line up with what we're reading here.
Exactly.
So, going back, it says, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. Now, this is saying something, because today, in a lot of these different places of so-called worship, people say the Old Testament is done away with. We don't have to follow that or look at that no more. We don't have to do that no more. But this man is saying, thy testimonies, because that's what the word testimony means. It means like a storyline, what was written down aforetime.
Yeah.
It says that thou hast commanded are righteous. Righteous. And very faithful. Remember what we read in Romans 10, talking about the righteousness of God. It says, thy testimonies are that thou hast commanded are righteous. So if he told us not to eat the swine, pork, that's very righteous if we do that. And we're looked upon in a good light in his eyes, because that's what he commanded us to do. If he told us to dress a certain way, woman shouldn't wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither should a man wear that which pertaineth to a woman. If we do that, that's the righteousness of God that we're looked upon. If we're not going around committing fornication, that's also another thing that's righteousness in the eyes of God. Those are all testimonies that he commanded us.
Yep. Hey, you notice Psalms 119:138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. So if we want to be faithful, we have to be like the commandments.
Yep.
Or do the commandments, which is what Christ did.
Right.
1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22.
Right.
But that old law is done away with. In the New Testament, we're talking about faith.
Yep, exactly. No,
so what is it talking about doing?
Yeah, doing the commandments. You know what that just reminded me of, too, is think it's Hebrews 11. I'm not sure. But it talks about Moses was faithful in all his house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yep.
So when it says that, and you look at Moses, what was he doing?
Mm-hmm.
He was doing the commandments of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what made him faithful. And so was Christ, like the scripture goes on to explain in Hebrews.
Yeah.
So that's a good point. So going back to this, and it says, my zeal has consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy word. So that zeal, that passion, that true passion that he has for the Most High has took him over because, okay, he's looking at his enemies and, okay, they're not doing the commandments. They're, sometimes they're going about to kill him for whatever reason, you know, when they took, like, the Ark of the Covenant, stuff like that.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that zeal, because they forgot the Most High's word. So it's showing you that it's a thing of action and not a feeling. That's what it's showing you. Then when we read in verse 167, it says, my soul hath kept, when it says soul, see, this is important too, because remember what Christ says, bro. We got to pay attention to words.
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Christ says. He says, when the guy came to him, what's the two greatest commandments or whatever? He was like, listen, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, body, and soul.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that word soul, that means deep down inside of you. That's the thing inside of us that don't die. So when we leave this earthly body and this body gets thrown in the ground 6 foot deep or whatever, our soul still lives on. It goes to another realm.
Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the soul goes back to the Most High who made it.
Exactly. So when it says soul, it's talking about like a deep down thing, a deep passion. It says, and I love them exceedingly.
Yeah.
So that's that true zeal. Now, the thing about it is, like these examples about our foreparents and stuff, they're written down for a reason. It wasn't just picked by, you know, circumstance or whatever. There's a reason why. Because the Most High loved these people so much that a record was made of them and their actions and their deeds for us to follow. So a lot of times when we read like these stories and stuff, we can't lie to ourselves. There, a lot of us today are not like these people. We have to morph and create ourselves into that zeal. We have to fight off what's naturally in us, like the lust and stuff like that. So that's why these testimonies are written for us to look at. We have to morph ourselves into that. We have to shape ourselves into getting that true zeal like what this man had. David.
Yeah.
So I want to look at some examples now. Let's go to Hebrews 13 because we establish the definition for the word zeal. We brought out some examples of how, you know, we are as a people, the zeal that we have, you know, when we build all these churches and go to these places of worship and we jump and dance and sing praise and all kinds of stuff. But then our actions is not lining up with the praise that's coming out of our mouth. Because remember what Christ says, what we read. Well, has Isaiah prophesied a few hypocrites. For what? You do show a lot of praise with your lips, but your heart, man, your mind is far from you. And like I said before, a lot of us that are alive today and living today, we have to morph and shape ourselves into becoming that zeal. And again, these scriptures that are coming out, it's for edification, meaning the building up. It's for people to look at these things and repent. It's not a put down. It's not a blast. It's to say, okay, you know what? Okay, now they just went over what your true zeal is. I've looked at the scriptures for myself. I understand. Okay, if I'm into this thing here, then okay, you know what? Then I truly don't have the true zeal of God, and I have to repent. That's the point. So Hebrews 13 and 4.
Excuse me, 13 and 4. Hebrews 13?
Yep.
I thought you were going to Hebrews 11.
No.
Oh, Hebrews 13?
Yeah, I quoted
Hebrews. Oh, you quoted it. Okay, because I was looking at, wow, that's a good picture over in 11.
Okay.
Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge.
Okay, so I'm reading this for a reason, because it says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. So when a man and a woman, I'm going to be specific, when a man and a woman, because that's a true marriage.
In Christ
is married, that's an honorable thing. That's a respectable thing in the eyes of the Most High. And whatever they do in their bedroom, hey, that's on them. It's not defiled. So I'm reading this because in a lot of these places that people go and say they're worshiping and having that zeal, it's nothing but a bunch of fornications that's going on. It's nothing but a bunch of adultery that's going on. You have either the pastor or the elder or whoever is set up over whatever church or organization, is not just one specific place. They're sleeping with women in the congregation, committing adultery. They're being, men in there are being whoremongers. They're having girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever, just moving from partner to partner, having sex like crazy with multiple people. And this is all wrong in the eyes of God. And we're seeing these things happening now on a level, man, that we really haven't seen before. A lot of sexually transmitted diseases, a lot of children that are being born and not, you know, two parents are not in the same household or whatever, because they might have had a one-night stand. You know what I'm saying? So, and these are some of the same people that go to church or wherever every week. They sing, they dance, they praise God with their lips. But what they're doing is far from the righteousness of God. This is righteousness in the eyes of God. Being married, a man and a woman, is an honorable thing in the eyes of God, and the bed undefiled. But it says whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So if we're in this lifestyle and we're not repenting and not doing these things anymore, when Jesus Christ comes back, we're going to be judged for it. Or he could be judged right now even before he comes back. He might get hit with some kind of STD or something like that, man. Or he gets shot or something because you're sleeping around with another man's wife or whatever. That's a judgment. You were going to say something.
I'm sorry. But it says, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. But, you know, people like to go to the scripture. I think it's in 1 Corinthians 2. If I'm spiritual, I don't get judged by no man. You can't judge me. Don't you judge the, man of the Lord. Don't judge me. No, see, there is a judgment coming. We have to warn each other, edify each other, and teach and help each other, prepare ourselves by repentance in Jesus Christ according to as it is written. So that when that judgment comes, because it's not our judgment. So when that judgment comes, we will be able to escape it, or or our judgment will be a blessing. Okay. So there is no great mystery about what the parameters of the judgment are. They are in the most printed book in the history of the world, the Bible.
So it says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. So that's what it's all about, man. A man and a woman being married. It's not, because now you'll have gay marriages that are happening and people are saying, well, as long as they love each other, they can marry. No, that's off, man. And we read the scriptures all the time in Mark 10, where Christ says, therefore shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. Two different genders. So that's what it's about, a marriage being honorable. But when, like I said, when you look in a lot of these places, man, people just don't know how to control their emotions and their lust. And when we do that, when we're able to control that, we're looked upon as being righteous in the eyes of God. That's that true zeal. That's what David was talking about. I love your testimonies. I've kept them. I love them. They're faithful. This is one of them, being married in Christ. And if you're not married in Christ, then don't go around sleeping with different people. That's off in the eyes of God. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you have a lot of that happening. People just don't know how to control their emotions and their lust. And they go to these places of worship every week, singing, dancing, doing whatever, thinking that they're praising God. But remember what Christ says. That's in vain. It's nothing. It's
yep.
worthless.
Yep. And it's not the righteousness of God, and it's
exactly.
somebody went about to establish their own righteousness and got people following it over time. Mm-hmm. Can I go to another example?
Yeah.
As you had mentioned Moses, let's go to Hebrews 11.
Yeah.
Hebrews 11:24-25.
By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
This cat,
wow.
This cat was royalty.
Wow, yes.
This cat was royalty.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. This cat was royalty.
Wow. Enjoy. Let me read the last one. Then to enjoy.
No, read the whole thing. Read it.
Okay.
24, 25 again.
It says, by faith Moses, whom when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
I'm not an African.
Yep. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
For
wow.
a time. No, but now, you know what amazes me? I see a lot of stuff on the internet. Probably too much, but the bulk of it is, you know, people downplaying the Bible. You know, I'm conscious.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt is the motherland.
Yep.
This, da-da-da-da-da. So, wait a minute. Don't choose this religion nowadays
mm-hmm.
because it's oppressing you. The whole setup is oppressing you wherever you're at in the world.
Yep.
Which is right.
Mm-hmm.
We should choose the Bible
yep.
instead of religion. But people go and say, don't choose religion, get out of this religion, wake up, be conscious. Egypt is the motherland. It's the they did this before. All these holidays, they're mm-hmm. copies, this, that, and it's all a copy. It's all a bootleg copy of what Egypt was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, Egypt was a bootleg copy of Babylon.
Exactly.
Second of all, you want people to leave from one system that's oppressing them
mm-hmm.
and go back to the ways of Egypt, which was another system earlier in history that was oppressing
mm-hmm.
the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Exactly.
Don't yeah. Aren't you conscious of that?
Yeah, exactly.
Aren't you conscious that going into that Egypt, that the magic, the symbology, the holidays, the culture, the wearing the ox and all of that stuff,
mm-hmm.
you can make up any excuses. You might as well be wearing a cross. Yeah, there's differences, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's the same. It came from it's the same religious system as Babylon. The same system today.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt and Babylon are all the same.
Yep.
And Egypt was not the original. It was a bootleg copy.
Exactly.
With the names changed. But read verse 24.
Hebrews 11:24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Okay, so he refused. So he would have been the cat throwing the switch that lit the lights on the Christmas trees.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they use the palm trees or whatever. But he'd have been, you know,
yeah.
he'd have been the cat throwing the switch.
Yeah, extremely high. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
high, or the cat rolling the eggs around in the on the lawn on the mansion.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But he didn't want to go about that fake righteousness that had been established by men.
Exactly.
Romans 10, 1-3.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He wanted to go and get with the real righteousness of God.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, it wasn't written.
Yep.
It was an understanding. People had it in their minds.
Yep.
So his parents, it says that if you read the story, his parents weaned him and raised him.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew who he was.
Yep.
He knew that they had been in affliction for a reason and all of this other stuff and what was going on with his people. He knew that.
Yep.
But he didn't go after the world and the setup of the world.
Exactly.
Read verse 25.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
So he didn't want to sin against the Most High.
Nope.
Even though that's what he was like when the Pharaoh passed, he was like if something happened, he could have been next in line to the kingdom.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
Okay, so read verse 26.
Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ.
Because since they rejected Christ, they're going to reject us, right?
Yep, exactly.
Read on.
Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt.
Egypt? Wasn't Egypt full of gold?
Yeah, exactly. When the Israelites was leaving out, they took their gold.
Back. Yeah, it spoiled them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right? So I don't understand how they got all of this gold, solid gold, mummy heads, and all this other stuff if they were spoiled. But, you know, but the faces on those things don't even look like the actual people. So that's probably a bootleg, too. But read the end of the verse.
For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward.
For he was aware of the consequences of his actions.
Wow.
He didn't want to go into that bootleg righteousness with this pantheon of gods.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent copy we have of it is called Egyptian Greek mythology.
Yep.
It was the same thing back through time, but he wanted to go with the righteousness of God,
exactly.
Not the righteousness established by men that are ignorant of God.
Exactly.
Yep. Okay, so that's it took faith to want to do that, to keep those commandments.
Exactly. Yep, that's true. That's why it says it was faithful in all his house. Yep.
Yep.
It's true. All right, so let's go from there to 1 Corinthians 6.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is we're going to read 18 through 20.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
So the scriptures is telling us flee fornication. When you flee from something, you're running away from something. You're avoiding it with all your might. So flee fornication. So avoid it. Avoid the lust of sleeping around with different people. So avoid that, man. Run from it. Be righteous in the eyes of God. So that we can become that righteous and zealous nation that we were, peculiar people that we were before.
Mm-hmm.
Not like what we see today. People, oh, that's just my baby daddy or this and that. Just fornication, man. Run from that stuff. Avoid that stuff, man. Learn to control your emotions and your desires.
Yep. Make a choice like Moses did.
Exactly.
To avoid the pleasures
exactly.
of going into your desires.
Exactly.
For this time while this kingdom is here.
Exactly. Excellent point. Avoid the pleasures of sin for a season, just like what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad how you brought out that he was high up there because, you know, people in power. Women.
You know, exactly.
You know, they can get whatever woman they want.
Hey,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey.
So, you know.
He's a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. Moses didn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. You're outside the body of Christ when you do that. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So your own body, our own fleshly bodies that God gave us, that's what you're defiling. Because remember what it says, marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled.
Mm-hmm.
So when you commit fornication, you're defiling your own body. Read verse 19.
First Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So it says, don't you know that your body, our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. So the bodies that we have, the Most High gave it to us for a time, for when he decides, okay, I'm going to take your soul away from the earth. And when we defile that, what, we're going against what he told us to do. Because why? We were bought with a price. That price that Jesus Christ shed his blood for us, for our sins. And people go to these places of worship and they sing songs about that, but yet and still they go out and they commit fornication, not even knowing what they're doing, what they're saying. It says, therefore glorify God in your body. So keeping your body undefiled, not committing fornication, and in your spirit, having that right mindset towards God. It says, which are God. So that's, this is, you know, these are some of the things that we have to look at. We're talking about that zeal. I want to go to one other example. Let's go to Proverbs 23.
Okay.
So again, we're talking about the zeal of God and bringing out the fact that it's what we do that proves our zeal and not what we say or, you know, stuff like that. This is a problem that quite a few of our people have as far as dealing with children, you know, and the Bible clearly says that we're supposed to do this when we have children, when we're dealing with them. So Proverbs 23, we're going to read 13 and 14.
Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die.
Wait a minute. The Bible is saying that we should beat our children?
Well, the Bible ain't a black comedian, but yeah, it.
Yeah.
But it's not talking about child abuse.
Exactly, and I was going to bring that up, but go ahead.
But it says correction.
Yep, exactly.
Correction. That is a whole environment. That explanation, listen, this is why this is wrong.
Exactly.
If you keep doing this, this is what it's going to lead to.
Exactly.
You don't come home from work, kick the dog, kick the cat, and kick the kid. That's wrong.
Exactly. Exactly. That's abuse. The correction is showing the child what they did wrong based on the scriptures.
Yeah.
That's what it is, because that's what our life is all about, is to fear God and keep his commandments. So that's what it's talking about. So it says, withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. The scriptures even tell us how and where to spank our children. So again, it's not talking about child abuse, punching a kid in the mouth, and all that. It's not talking about that, throwing hot water on them. It's not talking about stuff like that, man. It's talking about a spanking on the sides. If we do that, read verse 14.
Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell.
So it's telling us that we should be doing this to our children so that when they grow up, they won't become what, a reprobate. That's like what the word is used. And we're seeing that in a lot of these children, that when they grow up into and they become into the teenagers and stuff like that, they're like a wild horse, man. There's like no control over them. Why? Because they weren't brought up the proper way.
The scriptures, another scripture tells you I think the word is cocker or control,
cocker,
correct,
cocker.
Train your child, he shall make thee afraid.
Exactly.
So, you know, is somebody going to kill this cat because he's so wild? Or is he going to end up in jail? Is he going to, something happened yesterday, I think. The child shot the mother in the head.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that, bro. That was crazy.
How are you going? Wait a minute. I'm going to be 51 this year. My mother could be 97. I will never raise it, and she will be paralyzed, and I will never raise my hand against her. How do you go into that understanding?
Bro, I don't, listen, dude, I don't, you know. I don't know what to say, man. But that's why, you know, it was funny, too. Uh-huh. I saw that, like, right after. That's how I know this stuff is all the spirit of Christ.
Exactly.
That's how I know.
Exactly.
But people have to take heed to these things, man. We got to teach our children, train them up when they're young, according to the scriptures, and we have to spank them, not beat them, or child abuse, but that's a part of the training.
Yep, we have to do it faithfully.
Exactly. Read Proverbs 22 and 15. It's probably the last scripture.
22 and 15?
Yeah.
Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him.
So it's showing us that foolishness is what? Is bound in the heart of a child. All of us, when we're children, have foolishness in us. Even some of us as adults have foolishness in us.
Yeah.
Right? But it's saying as a child, the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. So that's what we have to do. We have to correct them, and we have to spank our children when they're young so that they won't grow up into what we're seeing today. So we give all praises to the Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ for giving us another week, another chance, another opportunity to come here and go over scriptures with our people.
Yep, all praises to the Most High through Christ. And what we're going to go over today is, should we really trust in men? Yeah, because sometimes, you know, we listen to what men say, you know, whether or not they have governmental authority, or whether or not they look like us, or whether or not they're right or wrong. We just listen. You know, when people raise up and want to blame everybody else for everybody's problems, or when people raise up and want to blame the government for our problems, when the people raise, you know, somebody raised up and said, hey, you know, who was that one guy that was running for governor of New York? Or was he running for president? I think he was running for governor of New York. Rent too high.
Yeah.
Rent too high. You know, so that, I think that's an extreme example, but you understand what I'm saying. So should we trust men? Let's go to Psalms 146. Let me get it first. Excuse me. Let's see what the Bible says about trusting in men and following after men, or thinking men going to save you. Because I saw a note from, I don't know if it was the Prime Minister of Israel, but it was some guy in Israel in the 60s that returned, it was a return note to Martin Luther King. And he had said, yes, I've heard about your desires to bring a group of American Negroes to Israel and all this stuff. So he was planning on, you know, taking the people back to Israel and stuff like that, as well as other religious leaders have intended to do before and since, or whatever, you know, take us out of the country or do this or that for the people. And he was saying, you know, this, and it was 3 months before he got killed. But Martin Luther King had planned this. And I was like, you know, whether he knew or not that the Negroes, or whatever we're being called these days, were actually, according to the Bible, some of the lost children of the house of Israel. It's interesting that he would try to take them back to Israel.
Right.
You know, but to trust being that man.
Right.
You know, read Psalms 147, start at 3.
146?
Right. I'm sorry, Psalms 146, thank you.
All right.
Somebody's paying attention.
Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help.
So there is no help trusting in men. That doesn't mean that if you borrow $200 or ask to borrow $200 from me and you're a good friend,
mm-hmm.
I shouldn't trust you.
Right.
That means that we're not supposed to trust in princes or in men for our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You can go up to the holiest, most righteous man that ever lived, Christ, right? Can he get you in the kingdom? Can he get you saved? Well, yes, he can. No, he can't. He went through what he did to get himself there. If you take on his lifestyle,
right,
he'll get you. You know, if you follow his instructions. But can he take you by the hand, go through all your life situations for you?
Mm-hmm. Nope.
That has to be, his example has to be in your mind.
Right.
So a man can't save you.
Nope.
The man can help you if he's coming from the scriptures
mm-hmm.
and deal with situations according to Christ.
Yep.
But as far as you do it, you know, somebody picking you up and putting you on their back and carrying you into salvation, that's not going to happen. The scriptures even say so, that the path of salvation is only wide enough for one person to go at once, right?
Yep.
So I can't save my wife. She can't save me. I can't save you.
Mm-hmm.
But I can give you scriptures.
Right.
And say, hey, bro, you know, this is where I'm just asking a question, but I think, you know, would you look at this scripture and see if what you're doing is right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that can save you.
Right.
You know, if you take heed to
it. Yep.
Exactly. So read Psalms 146 and 4.
His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish.
So his breath leaves out of him and returns to his earth that he was made from. Because remember, scriptures say Adam was created from the dust of the earth, and Ecclesiastes 12, I believe, it says the body returns to the ground that it was made from.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to die. In that very day, his thoughts perish. So why are we following men?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we esteem men as the instruments and the vehicle for our salvation when it's in the words of the Lord? There's a lot of times that people have been abused. You hear about it, you know, people taking millions of dollars from a church or whatever, you know, just people just being abused.
Right.
You know, people coming with a doctrine or whatever, but they're taking people's houses. Or they're doing this, or they're manipulating people for money. That's because they trust in that man.
Yep, exactly.
So we should trust in the word of the Lord, right?
Yep.
All right. Read verse 5.
Psalms 146, verse 5. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his God.
Here we go.
Which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever.
Okay, so happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. That's the God of the Bible, right?
Yep.
Because even when they asked Christ, I think about the seven brothers and the wife, and whose wife is she going to be?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, the God of Abraham?
Yep.
That's the God of the Bible,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's according to as it is written.
Yep.
Not the God of idols throughout the building. Not the God of doctrines and gospels that don't fit or take heed or promote the Bible as it is written.
Mm-hmm.
But the God of the Bible, right?
Yep.
All right, let's go to Proverbs 29. Excuse me. And let me see. Make sure this is right. 29, okay. You know I got these Roman numerals in here, man. You know. Let's go to chapter XXIX. Proverbs 29, verse 25.
All right. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe.
So if we fear men and reverence in men or scared of men instead of the Lord, it can be a trap to us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people, you know, like the example I was saying, like where the people go and voluntarily donate all their life savings
mm-hmm.
to a man that, you know, has, the examples are common.
Right.
It's so many, and with my bad memory, I'll probably mix the details from five stories up into one story, but we know this has happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they're left penniless and stuff, and the person is moved on down the road, not a police looking for him. Or he's still coming with this doctrine. You know, so that's a snare. We got trapped and caught in it.
I was going to say, too, mm-hmm. another snare in the trap is mm-hmm. People, you know, put their trust in politicians. You know, mm-hmm. like right now, the political debates and all that stuff is mm-hmm. happening because it's leading up to the mm-hmm. next election or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And time again, people do the same mm-hmm. thing. Like, people put a lot of trust in Obama when he was running.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them got disappointed because mm-hmm. he didn't turn out to be the president or the leader that they were hoping for. Why is that? Because they put their trust in men and not in the Lord. All mm-hmm. these men are corrupted. All of them. There's no difference. We can't put our trust in politics and into politicians either. That's mm-hmm. another example.
Exactly. Now, it says the fear of man bringeth a snare. Let's hold that and let's get Acts, I want to say chapter 5, but we'll see when we get there. Okay. It's coming, it's coming. There it is. Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay. this is when they was going to put Peter and the other apostles to death for preaching Christ. And they told them, Peter and the other apostles, this is Acts 5:29.
Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man.
Oh, okay. And God left us, even though it's mistranslated, verses missing,
mm-hmm.
Books missing, from what we have today given out in hotel nightstands. There's still enough there for us to know what to do, how to live, that
right.
we need to repent and live according to the words of Christ.
Right.
All right. Now, you can get more accurate versions if you like to or whatever, but we still have to obey God rather than men.
Mm-hmm.
So if a man is telling you there's not to do something that's in the Bible and coming with an excuse,
mm-hmm.
oh, hey, bank robbers justify robbing banks. Murderers justify murder.
Yep.
You know, people that want to eat pork justify eating pork, and they go to a preacher that justifies that. So we mm-hmm. can justify anything. We want to do. We have free will.
Yeah.
But we ought to obey God rather than men. Okay, so now read verse 33. Peter went on for a minute, but listen to their reaction. Verse 33.
Acts 5:33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them.
They went to justify murdering these cats.
That's crazy, man.
That was talking about scriptures.
Yeah.
Okay, just like in John 11.
Yep.
Okay, don't you know that Moses prophesied that one would die? So you know what? If this cat causing us so much problem and we're going to lose our status and place in this nation, then that's going to stop our money flow because we ain't going to get donations no more.
Mm-hmm.
Coming into the temple. Why don't we just let this dude be the one? Let's kill him. John 11. You know? So, but listen to this guy, Gamaliel, who is the guy that Paul learned from.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what he said. Read 34.
Acts 5:34. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee, named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space,
mm-hmm.
and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men.
So wait a minute. Are you going to deal right,
mm-hmm.
or are you going to justify some madness? You don't.
For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody.
Stop. Proverbs, I got it. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So read 36 again.
Acts 5:36. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves.
Oh, he got all the answers. He's the man.
Yeah.
Go on.
Who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him,
feared him,
were scattered and brought to naught.
Brought to nothing, meaning they had less after this cat got put in his place than they had before they even joined themselves to him.
Yep.
Read on.
And isn't this the case all the time when we see examples of this today? You know, people putting their trust in man, and
mm-hmm.
what happens, you know,
they worse off.
Yeah. Acts 5:37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him.
So they was like, yeah, he's the man, I'm going to reverence him.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Christ say, in the last days there will be many people saying, I'm the one. Listen, I'm the, like people say, look, there's the Christ.
Yep.
Or there's the Christ who's like, don't go after them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that account is in Matthew.
Right.
Yep. I'm sorry. Excuse me, read 37.
Acts 5:37. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed.
Okay, came to nothing.
Yep.
Got scattered.
Mm-hmm.
Just like what usually happens to Israel for their punishment, they get scattered.
Yep.
All right, now read on.
Acts 5:38.
Mm-hmm.
And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught.
Okay. And then he goes on to say, if it's of God, you'd be hapless to fight against God, because there's nothing that can be done against God, the will mm-hmm. of God. So those are two examples that, listen, people got trapped in a snare for following after or having a fear of men when they should not have. They should have just been like, remember, didn't Paul say if somebody come preaching another Jesus who we have not taught, mm-hmm. you might as well bear with them? Meaning like, yeah, go ahead, man.
Yep.
I ain't dealing with that. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me stick to these scriptures.
Yep.
So that's what it's talking about, what the scripture's talking about. If we don't do that, if we follow after men, then that's what's going to happen to us. Proverbs 29, go back to read verse 25.
Proverbs 29, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe.
Okay. So and Peter cleared that up. Trusting the Lord is obeying God rather than men, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So read verse 26.
Proverbs 29:26. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord.
Okay, so many people, they try to get in good with the boss, or they try to get people in positions of power to do favors for them and stuff, you know, pay mm-hmm. them back and just be like, you know, I got connections.
Yeah.
You know, but every man's judgment cometh from the Lord, so you're going to reap what you sow.
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking about, too, is, you know, they have the what's called the presidential pardon.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, it's like, people put their faith, all their faith and trust in that, man. I mean, yeah, it's okay for this lifetime if you want to get out of jail or whatever, but you know what? Just like the scriptures are saying, every man's judgment comes from the Lord. Make sure that whatever act that you did that was wicked in the eyes of the Lord, make sure you repent to him, to the Lord, and not to man. So you're seeking a man's favor, the ruler's favor, the president's favor, but your judgment, all of our judgment, is going to come from the Lord.
Exactly. So who should we try to most get right with?
The Lord.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Skip over to Proverbs 30, and let's read verse 5.
Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him.
Okay. Every word of God is pure. There's no corruption in it. Like, men are corrupt.
Yeah.
There's no corruption in the word of God, according to as it is written.
Mm-hmm.
He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. So I'm going to read this verse. It's Proverbs 16, verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the word, obeying the word of God, can have the Lord put a shield around him. So read verse 6.
Proverbs 30, verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar.
Yeah, so when you say stuff like, that's the Old Testament. When Acts 10, and Peter reviewed it again to the people in Acts 11, it comes to show, if you just read on and read the entire chapter, it's talking about not calling men common or unclean.
Yep.
What people add to the word of God and say, that's talking about we can eat what we want to. So it's 1 Timothy 4. When that stuff doesn't, you know, people look at 2 Corinthians 3. See, what we're not supposed to look at, the people couldn't even look at Moses, and that stuff was to be done away with, and now we're coming in Christ. Does that mean the temple and the sacrifices and the judgment up? Judgments for us, for our sins and ignorance and not having a chance to repent? Or is that talking about all the law? What is it talking about? Well, we don't understand. We're just going to say what we want to. Because if we say we can't eat pork, the pork industry would go bankrupt overnight. You know?
Yeah.
So, but we cannot add to the word of God, or we will get that judgment that it's talking about in Proverbs 29, and we'll be found a liar. So we have to be very careful who we esteem, who we follow, who we listen to, even when it's ourselves, because we can't even go into our own minds, because the scripture said our mind is wicked.
Yep.
If we're left to our own devices enough, we're going to invent sin.
We see the state that the world is in right now. Yeah,
exactly, with all these inventions.
Yeah.
You know? So, let's go to Proverbs 3. This actually was supposed to be the first scripture I started out with.
What?
Oh,
okay.
Read Proverbs 3, verse 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding.
Oh, okay. Read on.
In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Mm-hmm.
Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil.
Go on.
It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones.
Okay. So we're supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart. So everything that we do, we're supposed to trust that, okay, in this situation here, okay, I know the scriptures say such and such. You know what? although I do have an inkling or a thought to do something else, I'm going to do what the scriptures say and just let it go.
Yep.
Like the scriptures say, a wise man, I think it's 19 and 11. If I can get it right quick without running over, I'm going to 11 and 19. Oh, boy. Yeah, okay. Proverbs 19:11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So don't get mad at everything.
Mm-hmm.
Stop complaining. Stop trying to nitpick and all that stuff. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. If you want to complain and be mad about everything, don't do it, because the Lord says do differently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your glory, because the Lord will look out for you and reward you for that. So we encourage all our people out there to repent and obey Christ according to as it is written. Our toll-free number is 1-877-871-1712.
The Body of Christ Church Radio Network broadcasts 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. Listen to our archive broadcasts or check us out while we are live on the air. Come and visit us in the virtual living room at 2 o'clock p.m. on Sundays, where we examine current topics according to the scriptures. Are you looking for the truth? Can you handle the truth? Find out on Mondays at 8 o'clock p.m. It doesn't matter what church you attend or philosophy you believe, take the challenge to see, are you smarter than your pastor, on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock p.m. The world is engrossed in darkness, but it shall be destroyed by the light. Check out From Darkness to Light at 7 o'clock p.m. on Wednesdays, where all manner of witchcraft, occult practices, and Satanism is exposed for what it is. Before the light comes, it's time to awake on Thursdays at 8 o'clock p.m. If you are seeking salvation, listen to Repentance is the Key, Fridays at 7 o'clock p.m. And after you've listened to all of these shows, find out how we will become kings and priests, Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock a.m. All shows are on Eastern Standard Time. Remember to check out the Body of Christ Church 7 days a week on blogtalkradio.com/theBOCC. That's blogtalkradio.com/THEBOCC. Shalom.